This morning I would like to talk to you about fashion. And as I look around the audience this morning, I can see that some of you are fashion savvy, and some of you guys aren't. Fashion is the style of expression that is popular at the present time. Fashion not only impacts the way we dress, but it also affects the way in which we behave. And the fact is, fashion has been the source of much faulty thinking since the fall of man. Think about it. Adam and Eve, after they sinned in the garden, they attempted to cover their nakedness with fig leaves, which are possibly the most irritating leaf known to mankind against the human flesh. So why in the world would they choose fig leaves to cover themselves with? Well, chances are Eve was like, well, those look nice. Let's try those, you know. And Adam's like, well, they're not very comfortable. And she's like, you know, I don't care if they're comfortable or not. They look good. Now, I hear you laughing, but before you laugh too much, do you yourself have an article of clothing in your closet that is highly uncomfortable when you wear it? But you keep it anyway. Why? Because you like the way they look. Maybe you have a pair of shoes that are uncomfortable when you wear them, but they go so well with a certain outfit. Or maybe you have a pair of pants that you haven't been able to fit in since high school, but every once in a while you bust them out and try to fit into them because they were your favorite pair of jeans. Fashion. Fashion is the source of much faulty thinking. Even Seneca, the first century Roman philosopher, declared, "We live not according to reason, but according to fashion." That's right, fashion was a problem in the first century. We've all been victims of fashion at some point in time. But the biggest fashion victim, I would suggest to you this morning, the biggest fashion victim in the world today is the Christian who fails to understand the fashion of the Christ. Now, I understand that most of us, we've studied much about the passion of the Christ. Many of us have even seen the movie by Mel Gibson. But how many of us have spent time studying what the Bible says about the fashion of the Christ? Well, here in Colossians chapter 3, we're going to consider three important questions pertaining to the fashion of the Christ. First, we're going to ask the all-important fashion-related question, what's out? We want to know what's out, what's on the out list, what's no longer in style. The second question we'll consider this morning is, what's in? We want to know what's in style. But finally, we'll consider the fashion-related question, what's hot? What's on the cutting edge? What are the new trends? We'll consider these questions in the light of the fashion of the Christ. And so let's ask that first question, what's out? And when we ask the question, what's out, we're wanting to know what styles are no longer in vogue. What styles are no longer in fashion? Here in Colossians 3, looking at verse 5, Paul begins to answer this question of what's out. Colossians 3:5, Paul writes, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth." Now this phrase, put to death, it literally means to mortify. It means to deprive of power or destroy the strength of. But it also speaks of this, being worn out. That's right, being worn out. Now think about it like this. I remember hearing some years ago that bell bottoms were coming back in style. Bell bottoms. I mean, come on, they weren't even cool when they were here. How ignorant is that? Bell bottoms. But more recently, you know what I heard? I heard that leg warmers were coming back in style. Leg warmers. Now, I was there to experience as a kid bell bottoms, and in the 80s, as a fashion victim myself, I watched the trend of leg warmers. And even then, I thought, these are the most stupidest things in the world. But check it out. Now people are wearing leg warmers on their arms, you know, because just in case your forearms are starting to get a little cold, you know, you want leg warmers for your arms. Now, when I heard of both of these things, when I heard that bell bottoms were coming back in style, when I heard that leg warmers were coming back in style, I just thought, no, please, no. The last thing I want to see is a bunch of women walking around with leg warmers on their arms and a bunch of guys walking around with bell bottoms. These things are worn out. They're played. Okay? They should no longer come back in style because they should be put to death. They should be buried. If you have leg warmers in your closet from the 80s, just take them out back and bury them. If you're holding on to that pair of bell bottoms in your closet waiting for that fashion trend to come back, don't. Just burn that pair. They ought to be destroyed. They ought to be put to death. They ought to be buried. And it's in this sense that Paul is commanding us to put to death our members. Our members are worn out. They're played for the Christian. Well, what are these members that are out of style according to the fashion of the Christ? Well, Paul lists five members which are no longer in style for the Christian community. Number one he mentions is fornication. That's right, fornication. And this word fornication, it comes from the Greek word porneia. It's where we get our word pornography from. And it speaks of physical immorality. Fornication is adultery of any kind, including premarital sex, extramarital affairs, not to mention any kind of form of homosexuality. Paul is saying, look, fornication of any kind, it's played. It's out of style. No longer in fashion for the Christian. Put it to death. Put it to death. Fornication is no longer stylish for the follower of Christ. Next, Paul mentions uncleanness. Uncleanness. It speaks of mental immorality. It points to the thoughts that lead to lustful and licentious living. These thoughts that come up that, well, I'm just thinking about this naked girl. I'm just thinking about this naked girl. Paul's saying, no, out of style. No longer in fashion for the Christian. He also includes passion on his what's out list. Passion points to emotional immorality. And so he's saying physical immorality is out, mental immorality is out, and emotional immorality is out. The word passion here, well, it refers to depraved and vile passions. It speaks of strong sexual desire and emotional excitement that leads to lustful living. These passions, they're to be left behind like a pair of bell-bottom jeans. Paul also declares that evil desires are out of style. Evil desires, these are the cravings we have for what is forbidden. Evil desires, well, they often manifest themselves in forms of voyeurism. Understand that a voyeur is a person who is sexually excited by looking at other people's bodies. And while many of us would never walk up to someone, some neighbor's window and peep through the window to see them changing, how many of us went to the movies last night and were sexually excited by something they saw at the cinema? You were watching as a couple were actually engaging in the act of sex. Oh, it's softcore. You don't see everything. But you were excited by it, weren't you? That's voyeurism. And it's based on evil desires. Paul insists that these desires are out of style for the believer. Another way that we might be guilty of evil desires is through a desire to be stared at. That's right. If you have a desire for people to check you out, and so maybe you dress in provocative ways because you have a desire to be lusted after, that is an evil desire. Do you enjoy it when other people are checking you out? Do you dress in certain ways to be sure to draw the attention of other people? That is an evil desire. And Paul says it's out of style for the follower of Christ. Finally, Paul tells us that covetousness is out. It's out. Covetousness. And in the context of this verse, covetousness is the greedy desire for more, but it's in context speaking of sexual covetousness. Some married people, well, they're not satisfied with their spouse, and so they end up committing this kind of covetousness when they're checking out the other people at work, or maybe they're at the gym checking others out, or maybe they even come to church and check out the others. And because, well, they're not satisfied with the wife or the husband that God has provided for them. But sexual covetousness can also be committed by singles. You see, when singles place their search for a spouse because of their desire for sex before their relationship with God, this is sexual covetousness. And it's wrong. It's out of style. It needs to be put away, put to death, like a pair of leg warmers. Well, at the end of verse 5, Paul describes this covetousness as nothing more than idolatry. When you put a search for someone else to have sex with before your relationship with God, it's idolatry. You're worshiping sex, and you're worshiping the people that you want to have sex with before your worship of God. So when it comes to the fashion of the Christ, Paul is basically saying this: every form of sexual immorality, whether it's physical, mental, or emotional, it's out of style. It's no longer fashionable for you, Christian. You see, fornication, uncleanness, lustful passions, evil desires, and sexual covetousness are no longer in style for you. And if these are the things that you're doing in your life, if you're guilty of these things, well, it's kind of like walking around with a pair of shoes on that hurt your feet just because you like the way they look. You're acting in a way that's hurting you just because you like the way it feels. You like the way your life is going. However, you know that it's hurting you every moment. You're a fashion victim. Paul points out that those who do such things, well, they're deserving of the wrath of God. Look at Colossians 3:6. Paul says in Colossians 3:6 that because of these things, because of these forms of sexual immorality, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. You see, if you're a Christian here this morning, you should have once walked in these things. That should have been true of you at one point in time. But now these things are out of style. No longer fashionable. Before we came to Christ, we used to practice fornication. We used to practice uncleanness and passions. We used to have evil desires and covetousness. But now in Christ, these things are no longer in style. Sexual immorality of any kind is on Paul's what's out list. But that's not all of what's out for the Christian. Paul continues his list of what's out in verse 8. Colossians 3:8, Paul writes, "But now you yourselves are to put off these." And here we find Paul using this phrase, to put off. So before he said put to death sexual immorality, and now he's saying put off. And this term, or this phrase, put off, it speaks of taking off an old garment. Furthermore, he's saying, take off this old garment and put it far away from you. Now, when I was in high school, the thing that was in all the rage, parachute pants. You know, these nylon pants with zippers all over it, with little pockets everywhere. And you'd hear everybody that wore these parachute pants walking down the hall. It was, you know, that's what it sounded like everywhere, as everyone was wearing these parachute pants. And another thing that was in style, like right when I was heading into the ninth grade, well, it was the red and black Michael Jackson Thriller jackets. I mean, you know, if you had a pair of parachute pants and a Michael Jackson Thriller jacket, I mean, you were the man. You had it going on. Now, if somebody actually walked in this morning wearing a pair of parachute pants, some red Reebok tennis shoes, and that red and black Michael Jackson Thriller jacket, I would just have to feel sorry for that person. I would lovingly tell them, look, you need to put those garments off and put them far away from you because they're no longer in style. And that's what Paul is saying here. In verse 8, Paul's telling us to put off these things. Take them off and put them far away from you. And he begins with this: anger. Put off anger. Anger is the violent emotion that we tend to call a bad temper. Anger. It's no longer in style for the Christian. It's no longer stylish for the believer. Neither is wrath. The second thing on Paul's list to put off is wrath. Now, wrath is that kind of anger that boils over real quick, you know, and then it subsides real quick. You know, this is the person that's on the emotional roller coaster, and all of a sudden you just blow up with anger, and then you're okay. You know, this is not good for the Christian. This is the kind of person that we accuse of having a short fuse. Well, the Christian is called to have a very long fuse, to not get angry quickly. Paul also lists as number three, malice. We are guilty of malice when we simply have a desire to injure someone else. Malice is having an ill will towards other people. And Paul says, no. Malice is to be put off like an old garment, like a Michael Jackson Thriller jacket. Put it off and put it far away from you. He also says this about blasphemy. Blasphemy is the act of speaking about others in a derogatory way in order to injure their good name. The simple word for it, gossip. Yeah, when we start talking bad about others, well, did you hear what so-and-so, did you hear that so-and-so was wearing parachute pants the other day? You know, this is blasphemy. It's derogatory speech that is designed to bring down the name of another person. And this sort of behavior is no longer fashionable for the Christian. Neither is filthy language. At the end of Colossians 3:8, Paul tells us to put off filthy language, to put it out of your mouth. That's right. We should no longer be using filthy language. We shouldn't be using curse words. I remember before I became a Christian, I mean, I didn't really know how to express myself without using curse words. You know, curse word, that was just the way I talked. But it was interesting that as I became a Christian, it wasn't like I tried to stop cursing. It's just God gave me different words to, you know, use so that I could express myself. And He wants to do that in all of our lives. He wants to remove filthy language from our mouth. Because filthy language, it's not fashionable in the Christian community. Finally, Paul tells us to put off lying. Look at Colossians 3:9. He says, do not lie to one another. Paul's telling us here that lying or what's called defrauding one another, it's no longer in style. We should no longer be deceiving one another because lying, it's out, no longer in style. The fact is this, I can tell by looking at you that not one of you woke up this morning and put on a Michael Jackson jacket or parachute pants. Not one of you did. Why? Because they're no longer in style. You'd be the laughingstock of Austin, Texas, if you were walking around with those clothes on. But how many of you today woke up and you were angry with your spouse? How many of you woke up and just committed acts of wrath as you had your short fuse and you blew up at the kids? That's out of style. How many of you went to a movie last night and lusted during a sexually explicit scene? That's no longer fashionable for us. How many of you got dressed this morning hoping that your choice of clothing would attract the attention of somebody else? It's out of style. How many of you still use filthy language? Or how many of you are still lying to one another? These things are no longer in style for the Christian. We must understand that these practices do not belong in the Christian community. They should be looked at as if you walked in with a Michael Jackson jacket on and a pair of parachute pants with leg warmers and all that other junk that we no longer wear. We must understand that these practices do not belong in the church. We need to put to death fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness. We need to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, and lying. These are all practices that are out of style and no longer part of our lives. Well, just as Paul has given us the answer to what's out, he also gives us his list of what's in. What is in when it comes to the fashion of the Christ? Well, the world looks for new clothes to keep them in style. The world looks to the new styles that come out every spring and every fall that helps to create the appearance of a new person. Oh, and don't we feel good? I do. I know that when I go down and buy a new garment, a new shirt, some new pants, I think, hey, man, I'd look good in this, man. I really like the way this looks. I like the feel of this shirt. This makes me feel fresh and new. But let's not be deceived that just because you put on a new shirt, just because you put on a new dress, just because you have new shoes, it doesn't make you a new man. Don't be deceived by these emotions that the world is deceived by, because the Christian should look to Christ in order to be clothed with the new man. You see, we're clothed with the new man when we trust in Christ for salvation. At that point in time that we turn to Jesus Christ, when we receive forgiveness from Him, He clothes us with His righteousness and creates within us a new heart and a new man. This is why Paul writes in Colossians 3:9, looking at the second half of the verse, he says, "Since you have put off the old man with his deeds," all the things that we talked about on the What's Out list, "and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Now, when it comes to the trendy fashions of the world, we're constantly needing to shop every spring and every fall and every point in between just to keep up with the new fashions. We have to keep shopping so that we can keep current with the world's what's in list. Wouldn't it be nice if the latest fashions just automatically appeared in your closet every spring and every fall? Oh man, that'd be brilliant. Exactly in your size, the way it fits you best, the shoes that are perfect for that outfit, and they just appear in your closet. Better yet, wouldn't it be nice to just buy one garment, and that one garment just turns into a new garment the perfect garment for that. You know, it's a warm day, and you need something light, you know, and you need something that's summery, and there it is, the perfect outfit in your closet every morning. It's winter and it's colder outside, and all of a sudden you open your closet and there's the perfect winter outfit. This one garment just turns into the new garment. It's renewed every single morning. Wouldn't that be awesome? You would never have to go shopping ever again. That would be just incredible. Well, when it comes to the fashion of the Christ, Paul tells us that our new man can be spiritually renewed every day. Hold your place here in Colossians chapter 3 and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You see, when Paul tells us to put on the new man, he's actually telling us this. He's actually saying, let Christ fashion you with a new man. Let Christ come and be your tailor. Let Him come and dress you with the new man. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is telling us that our new man will be automatically renewed every single day. Isn't that incredible? To consider that while clothing cannot make us a new man, it can make us feel like a new man or a new woman. It can't actually make us a new man. It just makes us feel like one. But we can actually become a new man and a new woman every single day by the power of Christ. And this is what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4. Looking at verse 16, Paul writes this: "We do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." That's right. By faith in Jesus Christ and through our relationship with Him, our new man, our spiritual man, is renewed every day from grace to grace. It's renewed according to this list that Paul gives, this what's in list. You see, this what's in list that Paul is about to give us in Colossians chapter 3 details for us how Christ wants to make us new every day. And in Colossians 3:12, Paul writes, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on." Now let's stop right there, because here in verse 12, Paul's telling us to put on, which again means let Christ clothe you with this new man, which is renewed day by day. And He wants to renew us in 8 timeless fashions. These timeless fashions that are found on Paul's list of what's in. These 8 timeless fashions, well, number 1, Paul says, tender mercies. Tender mercies appear first on Paul's list. And tender mercies, they're expressed through a heart of compassion. Tender mercies, well, this is that compassion, that sympathy that is shown towards those who are suffering. Our hearts ought to be fashioned with tender mercies. And Christ wants to do that in our hearts every day. The second quality on Paul's what's in list is kindness. Paul commanded the Ephesian Christians, he said, be kind to one another. And Christians should be known for their kindness. Kindness is a quality, a fashion that Christ wants to renew in you every single day. Paul also calls the Christian to be clothed with humility. Humility, well, this is modesty marked with a deep sense of one's own moral littleness. Humility would cause us to not look down our nose at the sins of others, but would first cause us to look at our own sins, to judge our own selves first, to consider how short we fall of God's glory and perfection before we look down our nose at someone else. Humility is not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. While the world is selling pride as a form of strength, Christ calls us to humility. We find strength by understanding that without Him, we're not strong. The fourth style on Paul's list is meekness. Meekness, well, it's not a synonym for weakness. Warren Wiersbe defined meekness as power under control. Jesus demonstrated this style of meekness when he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they came to Jesus and asked who Jesus was. And he said, hey, I'm Jesus. And they all fell down just at his word. Now, he could have destroyed them right then and there. He could have toppled their power. He could have demonstrated his almighty glory. But he allowed them to arrest him. And as he was being arrested, Peter pulled out a sword and took off the ear of Malchus. But Jesus told Peter to put a sword away. That's power under control. He was meek. He knew that his job was to be arrested and to be crucified for our sins so that we could be saved. Meekness is a quality that Christ wants to renew in us every day. This brings us to the fifth quality on Paul's list. At the end of verse 12, Paul tells us to be clothed with long-suffering. And in verse 13, he describes this long-suffering as bearing with one another, forgiving one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And so long-suffering is something that Christ wants to fashion our hearts with. Long-suffering is practiced through our patience with one another and our forgiveness of one another. If some Christian in your community is getting on your nerves, Christ would say, have long suffering. Be patient with them. If there's a believer in this church that has crossed you in some way, Christ would say, hey, fashion your heart with forgiveness towards that person. That's how he wants us to be clothed. The sixth quality that's part of the new man that we're going to be renewed with every day is love. This quality of love. Colossians 3:14 says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. You see, Paul is talking about the agape love of God. The agape love of God, which creates a perfect bond. Now understand that those who have put on the new man, those who have trusted in Jesus Christ, he has bound together by his love. It's like this spiritual super glue that has bonded us together and you can't break it apart. We are bound together by the love of Christ. We are united in Christ by the love of God. And it's this bond of love that provides us with the seventh quality on Paul's list, and that's peace. Colossians 3:15, Paul writes, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. You see, we've been called together into one body. Every Christian is part of that spiritual body. And it's the peace of God ruling in our hearts that keeps us together. Christians are those who experience the peace of God in their hearts, and therefore we ought to have peace with one another. And that's something that Christ wants to do in your life every day. There's someone that you look at and you don't have peace with that person. Someone in the church and you're just like struggling with them. There's no peace when you're around them. Well, Christ wants to bring peace to that relationship, and he wants to do that day by day. The eighth and final quality on Paul's list of what's in is thankfulness. At the end of verse 15, Paul writes, be thankful. And being thankful is synonymous with being grateful. A thankful person is mindful of the grace they've received from others. especially the grace that they've received from Christ. And if you yourself have been the recipient of grace, then you ought to be giving grace. You know, some of the people that have received the most amount of grace in the church can be the most ungracious people. How sad that is. How sad that is when we overlook the sins of people, but then the minute you do something wrong in front of them, they're just all over you. No grace. This ought not be. We ought to be thankful. Thankful that Christ has saved even the most wretched person. And when you see their sins, just be thankful. Just say, thank you, God, that you could even save that person. How wonderful it is. Because honestly, we're just as bad as they are. It's just easier to see their sins. And so we ought to be thankful. And Christ wants to fashion this thankfulness in our hearts every day. And so tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, love, peace, and thankfulness. These are the fashions that Christ desires to clothe us with day by day. And He wants to renew these in our life every single day. He wants to give us the latest fashions of these trends every single day if we will just turn to Him. So according to the fashion of the Christ, Paul has shown us what's out. He's shown us what's in. And now Paul is going to deal with the question, what's hot? You see, it's true that we live in a world of many fashion trends. So many that it's pretty much impossible to keep up with all of it. The Irish poet Oscar Wilde even declared this. He said, fashion is a form of ugliness so intolerable that we have to alter it every 6 months. You see, when it comes to fashion trends, things change so fast that by the time you figure out what's in is already what's out. By the time you catch up with what's going on in the world, according to fashion and trends, you're already on the outside. And so you have to know not only what's in, but what's hot. You have to keep up with the cutting edge of what's coming in, what's about to be in, so that you can be right there on the cutting edge. Remember when it was all the rage to get the little dog in the little carrying case, you know, and you go, you walk around and there's your little dog? That's no longer in. Don't go buy a little dog now with a little doggy carrying case, because that was cool at one point in time. It's no longer cool. What are they doing with all those little dogs that they bought now? I don't know. Maybe they're at the pound. Maybe you can get a cheap little dog if that's in for you. But it's no longer in. Don't buy leg warmers, no Michael Jackson jackets, don't get the parachute pants, don't walk around with a little dog in a carrying case. These things are no longer in. So what's in? Well, we have to know what's about to be in. Because if we just are keeping up with what's in, it's already out. So what's hot? What's hot? What is hot? Some people answer this question by looking to fashion magazines like InStyle or GQ. Others look to websites like trendhunter.com, and there we'll understand what's at the cutting edge of fashion, what's hot. But Paul encouraged us to look to God's Word first. That's right, we ought to be looking to God's Word before we look to any worldly fashion to determine what's hot for us. Colossians 3:16, Paul writes this, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Here in these verses, Paul is encouraging us to consult the Word of God before we look to any worldly standard. Before we ask the question, what's hot, we better know what God's Word says about what's hot. Before you commit yourself to any new fashion trend, you ought to allow the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly. Now, this word dwell in verse 16, it actually means to influence. So verse 16 actually says, let the Word of Christ influence you richly in all wisdom. You see, too many Christians are letting the fashion trends of the world influence them into much ignorance. But it's the Word of Christ that can influence us richly in all wisdom. Now hold your place here in Colossians 3 and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. You see, when it comes to the question, what's hot? What are we going to allow to influence us? The styles and trends of an ungodly, immoral industry, like the fashion industry? Or the holy word of God? And I would suggest that we allow God's word to influence us first. And then we can determine if the latest fashion trend is something that we can allow into our life. We have to know what's hot in the eyes of God before we can allow what's hot in the eyes of the world to influence us. When it comes to fashion, the Bible has much to say, whether you realize it or not. In 1 Peter chapter 3, looking at verse 3, Peter here writes, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." You see, Peter isn't against fashion. He isn't against having modern styles or wearing fashionable clothing. He doesn't say, don't adorn yourself with fashionable things. He's saying, hey, you know what? More importantly than the outward fashion, more importantly than decorating the person that's dying, isn't it better to first make sure that your beauty is inward? You see, the problem with the question, what's hot, as most of us are asking the question as it applies to the outward appearance. We want to dress this up, not realizing that what's more important is an inward beauty of the heart. When Christ fashions our heart, we will teach and encourage one another, as Paul says back in Colossians chapter 3. He says that when the heart has been changed, then we will teach and encourage one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's hot. That's hot when Christians are walking around and they're singing praises to God together. That's hot. When Christians are coming together and they're encouraging one another in the Word of God, that's hot. If you want to know what's hot, Paul's saying that's what's hot. Christian community that's founded on an inward beauty because Christ came and put a new person on you, created a new garment for you to live in, covered you with His righteousness, and is revealing His love through you to others. That's hot. Then in verse 17, Paul directs us to the question that we must ask before we embrace any new fashion. Look at Colossians 3:17. Paul says, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." You want to be a Christian trend center? You want to know what's hot according to the fashion of the Christ? Then ask yourself these simple questions. Can I embrace this new fashion trend in the name of the Lord Jesus? Can you? As you're looking at trendsetter.com, as you're looking at the new styles being revealed in InStyle or GQ, ask yourself, can I wear that in the name of the Lord Jesus? And when I say in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm talking about His character. Can you actually say, yeah, Jesus would wear something like that? Or Jesus is pleased when I wear that shirt or that pair of pants or that bathing suit? Paul's saying, whatever you do. You see, Christ wants to impact your life in every area of your life. Not some areas, not most areas, but all areas of your life. Jesus wants to clothe you with a new man and wants to change you day by day in every area of your life. And some of us are sitting here this morning saying, well, I'll let Him change this much of me, but not this. I'll let Him change inside, but I still get to decorate the outside. No, Paul says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what's hot? Well, according to Paul, walking in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's hot. living a life that's pleasing to Jesus. That's hot. Allowing Christ to fashion your heart after His perfect will, that's hot. Allowing Christ to change your life inside and out, that's hot. Every other fashion trend, it's only window dressing. You're only decorating a dead man's body. Let Christ come in and change your life inside and out. And so the question is left for you. Are you trying to keep up with the world's fashion trends? Have you spent more time and energy trying to renew your old man with worldly fashions rather than looking to the fickle fashions of this world to make you a new person? I suggest that you look to God's Word to answer the questions. What's in? What's out? And what's hot? And then, when we take these questions to God's Word and allow Him to clothe us with the new man, then you'll always be in style according to the fashion of the Christ. Let's pray.